You be seated.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Thanks for leading us so capably. And Holy Spirit, you know, one of the major work of the Holy Spirit is to point us to the person of Jesus. Would we see Jesus today? Would the Holy Spirit point us to the person of Jesus today? Through all of my ramblings, especially, would Holy Spirit point us to the person of Jesus today? Because love matters most. And we're going to look today, what is love? Who is love? What does that mean for us? We have the great opportunity to do only 40 days of love. You're off the hook. It's just 40 days. All right? So who's got it in their calendar? I've only got 30 how many more days left. Have you done that yet? You're going back? Oh, I have this expectation of 40 days of love. Obviously, it's bigger than that, right? Obviously, what we're saying is that love is the crux of who we are as the people of God, because it's who God is. And so we want to understand that. So we're taking 40 days to try to hone in on that, and we're looking forward to it. I love the love that I get the mornings that I preach, and it usually comes via a text from Peter. Yes, can you be loved through a text? So Peter, if you're listening, we love you. We're a little jealous that the sunshine is a little warmer than here, but I'll read this for you. Good morning, Kevin. Praying for you as you hold forth the heart of God. Love, love, love. Hope the kids' choir song sings in everyone's mind from last week. We're heading out for a walk in the sunshine, 80-degree weather, temperature at 7 a.m. Love you, Peter. Yeah, and I'm sure I got to listen to his sermon online last week. I'm sure he's golfing a little bit in there, too. Wow. But it's pretty warm out there today, too. It's a good thing. What matters most? Love matters most. This is my task for us today, is to try to get us to understand that love matters most. Jesus was confronted with a trick question in Matthew 22. It's not on the screen, but the verses that his reply in Matthew 37 to 40 is on the screen. But before that, it was kind of like the leaders and religious leaders of the law at the time, they were trying to trick him up. They're like, this guy's gaining a lot of notoriety. People are starting to understand him a little bit. We are a little worried of what's happening here. And so they tried to trick him up. And this is their question. Verse 36. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Now, the law of Moses was everything to the Jew, especially to the Jewish leaders. And Jesus, his response is this, verse 37. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." Jesus himself sums up the entire book into two things. Love God and love other people. Love commands. So that's what we want to try to look at today. But what is love? Anyone, if I ask that again, what is love? Don't answer. Does a 1993 dance song come to mind? What is love? Yeah? Got it? I'm not going to sing it. Well, maybe I will a little bit. But how does he start off that song, Hadaway, right? He starts up the song. Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. And then he goes, what is love? And then love, love. And then he's like dancing and everyone wearing the bad clothes. They're all dancing together. And then he's asking what is love. In the midst of it, he's like, baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. So he starts off that song, baby, don't hurt me. So his understanding of love is there's some vulnerability happening here. And you know what? I'm going to get hurt in the midst of it. Baby, don't hurt me. And that song kept ringing in my head. So yeah, I went to Google, which led me to YouTube, which led me, okay, I'm going to listen to it. We won't do it here because you all listen to me. But that song, it rings in our heads. Even if you're not a product of that time, you've heard it and you know. And I don't know if he got it right by saying right away, the first things out of his mouth were, baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. Oh. So what is love? The Bible in 1 John says that God is love. God is love, and Jesus is fully God. Then we need to talk about love. We need to talk about who Jesus is. This is what love is. It is Jesus. It is God. But we're going to read 1 John 4, 8-12. But anyone who does not love does not know God. God is love. For God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loves us that much, we surely ought to love one another, love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. The Bible is actually very clear what God is, what love is. It's like John saying, hello, Hadaway, this is what love is. It's God. And then he unpacks who God is and how God manifests his love to us in the person of Jesus. God is love. What does that look like? God showed us how much he loved by sending his one and only Son into the world that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Jesus, it is. Jesus is love. John is not saying, don't go guessing around about it here. Here we know what love is. It's Jesus. Pure love is found and displayed in the person of Jesus. The incarnation of the all-knowing, all-powerful, creator God found in Jesus. And I want to unpack. We're going to sit here a bit more this morning in this understanding of the incarnation, because I really believe we need to discover maybe something new or a reminder of something new about who Jesus is today, because I was encouraged by that. So this is not only the kind of love that God does, but it is the kind of love that God is. Right? Do you understand? So God isn't just doing, he is. God is love, and that's why he does. Love is what God does because it is who he is. You understand? Love is what God does because it is who God is. God is love. It's a kind of, but it doesn't just leave it up there. God didn't want it to be just some kind of thing like we talked about a few weeks ago, where Brené Brown says, like, when we think of love, we just really go to Care Bears and unicorns, and we think it's something way out there. But no, it's practical love. And so God, in his nature of being love, he went, I need people to understand that, and the best way to do that is that love would become one of them. And so it's practical. So this is the kind of love that led Jesus to wrap around a towel around his waist to wash the disciples' feet, even though they would know that they would turn their backs on him. He would know that they turned his backs on him. It is the kind of love that leads the good shepherd to leave the 99 and go out and look for the lost sheep. It's the kind of love that waits long and longs for his children to come back home after squandering everything and saying that you are better off dead. And they see the love sits there and waits for the children to come back home. And when the child does come back home, They celebrate and they have a party. What Peter talked about a couple weeks ago, the party for Agnes. It's the kind of love that leads Jesus to compromise his reputation with hanging out with prostitutes, tax collectors, addicts, and other such judge groups, people that have been burned and hurt by religious establishments. This is the kind of love that does, because it's the kind of love who is in the person of Jesus. It's the kind of love that weeps when a friend dies. It's the kind of love that weeps for a people that is lost. When Jesus had that sense of weeping for these people, I'm weeping for them. They're lost without a shepherd, with no direction. It's the kind of love that goes to the margin and touches the lepers and the ones that no one else will touch. This is the kind of love that does, because it's the kind of love who is in the person of Jesus. It is that kind of love. It couldn't be more beautiful. It couldn't be more amazing. It couldn't be more other than what we might think love is. It couldn't be more radical. This is the kingdom of what God wants to see here on earth. This is what Jesus is praying when he says, when he teaches the disciples, and when you pray, pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth here as it is in heaven. Would your love, would who you are, would it be here and established here now? This is the kind of love that comes. This is what love, what Jesus does, because this is who Jesus is. When we think of the incarnation of Jesus, we can quickly go to donkeys, angels, shepherds, tranquil stable, with a new mom and dad fixing their gaze on a brand new baby boy wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, not crying. And we have a somewhat skewed picture of what the nativity scene is, and how good that is too. But in our mind's eye, when we think incarnation, we think of the nativity scene. Anyone ever, when you think incarnation, you go, incarnation of Jesus, oh, the nativity scene, right? Donkeys, maybe a sheep in there. Sometimes, you know, if you have a nativity scene at your house and maybe you have little kids, like, baby Jesus missing. Where is he, right? We're looking for baby Jesus. Or like they're thrown in like a Lego man in there, right? Spider-Man or like Batman. It was Batman Day yesterday or Friday. So like Batman, Lego Batman in there, whatever. Like we think of nativity, but it's actually much bigger than that. The incarnation actually refers to the entire life of Jesus. When God in the flesh walked here with us, with the people at that time for over 30 years, he was the incarnation of the God of Israel and the God of the universe here. And because who he is, he did love. 1 John 1:14 says that this is God. It's not on the screen. That this God became flesh and tabernacled. The word is pitched his tent among us for a while. So in the flesh, or Eugene Peterson said, moved into the neighborhood. This is who Jesus is. So in the flesh and blood of the person of Jesus, we have the only life ever perfectly lived who reveals the true nature of God as far as it can be revealed to us as humans. You understand? So we need to look to the person of Jesus. I love the fact that our mission statement is helping people discover and follow Jesus. Because this is who God is. And God is practical. And God is, and God does. And God does because he is. The New Testament writers remind us that Jesus of Nazareth was more than a wandering peasant prophet. They insist that he was the exact image, representation, image, essence of God. Colossians 1:15. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Colossians 2:15. For in Christ all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Jesus is revealing exactly what God is like, not some sort of part of the Trinity. He is God. Jesus was the one true, like someone wrote this, so Jesus was the one true avatar of the transcendent God. So God is love, and Jesus is God revealed to us. And his love comes at the climax of the crucifixion. Self-sacrificing love. 1 John 3:16, it's not on here, says this, and this is how we know what love is. Christ Jesus laid down his life for us. And John says that, in case you didn't get it, then he says in our text that you have in there, in case you didn't get it, 1 John 4:9 says that God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. The climax of who Jesus is, the climax of who God is, and what love is doing is in the person of Jesus at the cross. This is why the cross is absolutely central. And we sing a song, lead me to the cross. Lead me to the cross. What does that mean? It's gonna hit us late, a little bit later. Someone has said, Jesus on earth is God unveiled in heaven. Jesus on earth is the unveiling of who God is. And many of us here have experienced this love of Jesus. And we need to be reminded of, if this is Jesus, we need to be reminded of who we are. That we are ones that are the recipients of this love. Recipients of this all-encompassing, gracious, free gift of love. I'm not sure about what's going on in your life today, how your week was, what you experienced, maybe the good, the bad, the ugly. The good news is that Jesus is here, comes to us, to you and to me, to your mother, to your aunt, to your children, to your father, to your brother, to your sister, to your cousin, to your friend, to your enemy. Jesus has come to reveal this love to all. The kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus and him crucified for all of creation. This is the kind of love that has come near for all. And it starts here with you. It starts with me. I want to encourage you with Isaiah 57:15. It says, the high and holy, lofty one who lives in eternity, the Holy One says this, I live in a high and holy place, but also with those who are spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. And I want us to pause to listen. I discovered a new band this week. His name is Zurban. Strange name. It's a guy's last name. Snyder's strange too. And so if this works, I want us to just listen. I want us to take a bit of time to just listen. And I'm going to read a few of these words for us. And I want us to just listen and say, okay, God, I want to be that person that you touch. I want to be the person that you come in the midst of. I want to receive your love. It's a risk to play a song because sometimes, for those of you that love heavy metal death band, that's not going to be played right now. Some of you are saying, awesome. And so there's different kind of, we have our slants and what our preferences, right? And so, but what I really want you to do is listen to the song and then listen to the words, and that these words would be a comfort to you, that God is love, and Jesus in the person of Jesus comes to us and speaks these words to us. So let's try that, Jamie. Let's see if we can do it. be that if I'm the leper, you can touch me just as. I'm the loser, you can love me just as. I'm the broken, you can mend me just as. Because the I am, Jesus, is the healer, my healer, my healer. Hold me in your arms, never let me fall out. Catch me in your arms, I never want to fall down. Jesus has come to catch us. Jesus has come to save us. Jesus has come to touch us. And if you look around, there's all kinds of different people here in all kinds of different walks of life, in all kinds of different situations. And Jesus has come to your situation and said, I want you to understand how much I love you. And would we be reminded, we need to be reminded that it is grace that God's given us this love. And so often I can be the leopard, I can be the loser, I can be the broken. And what do we do when we experience this kind of love? What do we do? Well, we do exactly what you see God doing. This is what we do. This is what we're made for. We do exactly what we see God doing. In verse 11 of 1 John 4, it says, Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. So if God loves us this much, we should surely do that for others. Sometimes I wonder if it's the degree that we receive the love of Jesus may be the degree that we love other people. Now, let me say something. Some of us are like raging extroverts, like myself sometimes, right? So what my love is going to look like is going to be different than someone that is a raging introvert, right? So I'm not saying compare that what that means, right? I'm not talking, but I'm saying how do we explain and express this love to other people and what we've received, that while we were yet enemies, Christ died for me. How do I do that to my, oh, I was an enemy of God. Oh, so actually the people I got to show love. Oh, wow. This is the following part. We've discovered who Jesus is, okay? Now, sometimes the following part is a little bit harder because we got to get up from where we are and start moving to places that are uncomfortable, right? This is the hard part. The easy part is discovering who Jesus is actually in our life. Oh, my goodness, the love is amazing. I'm just going to sit on the beach and journal and watch the sunset, and it's just going to be awesome. And then when I get home and when I get to my friends and my family, shut up! Right? Because we've discovered who God is in our life, in my little minuscule life, yet I don't understand that this love that God's given to us is for the entire world. And I'm in that world. And I come in contact with people in that world. And I get upset with people in this world. And so now what happens? Oh. Following Jesus is a hard part of it. And yet it is very beautiful. It's a beautiful thing when we as people are following and living and acting like Jesus. Because the beautifulness that we've received in our own life is now attainable in others' lives because of us? What? I'm jumping ahead. Do exactly what you see God doing. Let's run through some scriptures real quick, just so you're thinking, give us some theological basis. Well, here it is. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dearly dear loved children. Live a life of love. Kids are singing, live a life of love. Live a life of love. That was awesome singing, right? Last week? Awesome. Following the example of Christ, he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us as a pleasing aroma to God. Again, Paul's saying what John is saying. 1 Corinthians, do everything in love. Ah! Then they start talking in 1 Corinthians about 1 Corinthians 13. If it's not in love, what is it? Gong! It's nothing. Okay, what does it mean? I got to be perfect. Oh my goodness. The fact of is that's the bullseye that we're shooting for, though, okay? This is the bullseye. Love is the bullseye that we're shooting for. It's the center of the center. We look to Jesus, and this is how we are to love. For the follower of Jesus, there's not an off button on love, even though there is. Do you understand what I mean? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us and gave himself up. This is how we are to love. Because we do because we are. So we're shaping, we're discovering who Jesus is. He's shaping who we are, and now we're doing because of who we are. Do you understand? Do I understand? I'm not asking you, actually. Sharon, do I understand? Kind of. And I might even say love is the mark of the children of God. Is it? Love is the mark of the children of God. According to Scripture, love is the mark. Matthew 5 says, you have heard the law that it says this, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives us sunlight, both the evil and good, and he sends rain and just and the unjust. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Even tax collectors do that much. If you're kind to those who are your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even the pagans do that. But you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Perfect in love. Oh, okay. So the mark, the center, is the love like Jesus. Because that, it reveals that we are actually children of God. Loving your neighbor is the mark, our allegiance with Christ. Maybe it's the papers revealing your adoption. Who do we do as God does, because that is who he is and that is who we are. Are we going to mess up? Yes. We're not Jesus. Although his spirit is living inside of us. All the fullness of Christ is for us. And it's not just for us, it's for everyone. But that does not stop us from learning to love better. In fact, it's in the messing up that we receive love from one another here in our body in Coast Hills that we actually receive and understand what love is, what forgiveness is. And that leads us to the last point. God's love is revealed through community, particularly the church. Yes, you can receive God's love on a beach when the sunset's going down and it looks beautiful. You can also receive that while you're looking at a piece of art and you're just, oh, I'm overwhelmed with love. But I would suggest the more practical love that you receive is when you've really messed up and someone says to you, you've really messed up. And you're like, you could be either like, well, yeah, I do it all the time. Or, yeah, totally. I messed up. And how do we fix this situation? And you receive forgiveness from this person. Because this person has received forgiveness from Jesus. And so actually, in the midst of a sinful body, we're learning to love one another in the midst of sin. I'm not saying sin's a good thing, but what I'm saying is that God uses it for his glory and to reveal his goodness to us in the love of one another. Isn't that crazy? Jesus even redeems sin. Because it comes to the person, the work of Jesus on the cross, who is cruciform in all of who he is, not just what he does. The cross wasn't just what he did, it's who he is. And so we are receiving this goodness from other people because they've received this goodness from God. How can we do that all the more in our life groups? How can we do that all the more in our families, in our relationships? How can we do that all the more as Coast Hills Community Church? How can we do that more? Let's dream about that, what that looks like. So let's talk about the hard things with one another because we can actually forgive each other from the hard things. So we don't just kind of do this. We go, all right, because I love you, we're going to chat about this. And let's love one another in the midst of it. It's a beautiful thing. The cross of Jesus is a beautiful thing. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives us, and his love is brought up to the full expression of who he is in us. Whoa. In God's wisdom, he reveals the incarnation of who he is in the person of Jesus. Jesus is the mark. Jesus is the perfection. Jesus is God, and God is love. So now Jesus is saying to his disciples, as we see, now he says to the disciples, you're going to do greater things than me. We're like, what? Huh? Pardon? Say it again? God reveals his love through flesh and blood, again, through us. God didn't stop incarnation. It's actually through the Holy Spirit. It's flesh and blood through us. We're called the body of Christ. Now we are to walk in that as Jesus does. What makes a successful church? I wonder if it's about how well we love. And what does that look like? Do the people at Coast Hills, do we look more and more like the person of Jesus, individually and corporately? In our families, I got to work on that. In our life groups, with our friends, how can we look like the person of Jesus as a body? How can we do this? How can we display this manifest love that we pray a prayer in Ephesians 3, and we talked about it, that I hope that you would know how great, how awesome, how wide, how big the love of God would be. It's not something that you pondering and thinking on a beach somewhere, although you can do that, but it's something that stares you in the face when someone actually says, here, I want to help you with something, and you go, no, I don't need any help. You're like, yes, you do. And it's maybe a meal. It's maybe someone saying to you, I forgive you. The atrocity that happened, that you did to me, I'm going to forgive you. And you're like, wow. And this is where we understand the goodness of God in the lives of one another, living as Jesus to one another. Matthew 25, Jesus says, what you do to the least of these, you'll do unto me. So get this. Loving God and loving one another, they're so close. As I love one another, I'm actually loving who God is. So yes, it's going to happen in your quiet times. That's loving God. But as I love one another, what Jesus says, when you've done the least of these, you've done to me. As I live and I love one another, and I walk, God has led me to the cross, and now I'm listening to him and following him. I'm serving other people. I'm forgiving other people. I'm listening. I'm patient. I'm hopeful. I'm actually loving God while I'm doing that. Two commands, love God, love one another. And they're so closely connected. Would we do this? Could we do this? Have we received this love of Jesus? Are we imitating God who is love? We don't perfectly manifest God's perfect love, but that's okay because it can be redeemed in our relationships with one another. And we see, hallelujah, how good God is, that he loves us, loves you and me. And we are saved by grace, but it's the bullseye to love like Jesus, do everything in love, to care about the poor, the ones on the margins, the one judged by religions, the one outside, because this is what Jesus did. It's because this is who Jesus is. Have we discovered more about Jesus today? I have. Now, how do we love and live in the midst of that? How do we love? And I'm not saying this to make people feel guilty. No, this is a beautiful thing that we can live like Jesus. Because this is the kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. In each and one, every one of our lives. I've just wrecked that. That was awesome. No. Are we willing? Are we ready? Are we prepared to follow Jesus this week? I want to call the band up. There's questions for us to ponder here and to look at. What have I discovered new about Jesus today? If you have a pen, write that down. Write something down or answer this week. Have I surrendered and received the love of God? What do I need to do to receive this love myself? And the following part, what's one thing that I can do to imitate God's love this week in my family, in my work, in my leisure, in my personal quiet time? Who is the one person I need to love better? Start with praying for that person. Might be someone that just, and maybe see where that leads you. Would we discover and help people discover and follow Jesus? Because this is his kingdom come here on earth, lived out in every one of you here. May Jesus be revealed through Coast Hills Community Church this week. Jesus, let's pray. Thank you, God, for your love for one another, for your love for us. Give us a love for one another like never before. Give us a love that is from you, that we might be willing to forgive other people for what the offenses that have happened in our own lives. Jesus, would you help us understand what it means that, yeah, you've come incarnate. You came to reveal your love to me. But it doesn't stop there. Help us reveal your love to other people in the lives that we live, in what we do, in our work, in our play, in everything we do. And help us, also help us understand that we can't be perfect, but we could walk, take one step ahead of the other. Lead us to